Hey, it looks like we are all back on. Marshall, would you like to call us to order again, please?
The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Smith, Judge Werke, Judge Wheelock, the Honorable Tracy M. Smith presiding.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We are here for our fourth and final oral argument this morning on this calendar. This case is A22-0985 in the matter of the welfare of the child of SRD and JD parents. Counsel, each of you has 15 minutes for your principal arguments. And counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. And at the start of your principal arguments, we'd ask that you identify yourself and the party you represent for the record. Both of you do that. This case is, we're on Zoom, but it is, we're making an audio recording only for later publication on our website. With that, counsel for appellant, if you are ready, you can begin.
Good morning, your honors. May it please the court. My name is Timothy H. Dodd. I'm the attorney in this matter for the appellant, who will identify by his initials JD this morning. I'd like to start by observing first what and as the court knows, this is an appeal from a termination of my client's parental rights by the Becker County District Court. What I'd like to start with this morning is the what the trial court was unable to find, which was that my client was palpably unfit to parent. That was alleged, but the trial court found that that was unproven, but then went on to find that termination was appropriate on the grounds that my client had not corrected the conditions that led to the out-of-home placement. I think the significance of that strikes me as rather an unusual decision. It seems like, to the extent that I've been involved in these cases, it seems like with one we get the other. But that wasn't that didn't happen in this case. And basically what we were contending at the trial court level, we weren't claiming that we had fully completed our case plan. Because what had happened was my client got where he had not completed his case plan is he hadn't completed the primary treatment with respect to his chemical dependency. What was going on there was at the time the case opened, it was the judgment of the agency that he didn't have a chemical dependency problem. He had a history of being involved in a Suboxone program. So it wasn't until 3 or 4 months into the case that he was where there was an allegation of a positive test, which he denied. So just by virtue of that, he was going to be getting a later start with this. But by the time of the trial, he had at least, although he hadn't completed the primary treatment, the record established that he was maintaining sobriety, at least to the extent that he was not failing any more drug tests. I don't think there's any claim that he failed any drug tests during calendar year 2022. We think that he was in substantial compliance with his case plan. And we don't think the trial court was correct in concluding that he wasn't. But beyond that, what also seems to us to have been a significant problem here in this case, and especially considering the grounds on which his rights were terminated, would have to do with the manner in which parenting time was dealt with by the agency and approved by the trial court. Considering my client's compliance, we don't understand why he was never given the opportunity to parent his child outside of a supervised parenting center. As I said, he was in compliance with his chemical dependency, at least to the extent that he wasn't testing positive. I could understand why they wouldn't want to allow any unsupervised parenting time if he was, but he wasn't. We think that should have been afforded to him. And if you look at the statute that under which the rights were terminated, and as I read it, it requires all four of the prongs. We're talking about Minnesota Statute Section 260C 301 Subdivision B5, and we have the four subparts. We agree that one and two aren't at issue here, but three and four both are, and four comes in because we think that the affording my client less restrictions on his parenting time would have been part of the reasonable efforts that should have been expended here, and that would have given my client the opportunity to better demonstrate his ability to parent this child safely, which is significant in this case because as the trial court found, it could not be determined that he was palpably unfit, which I think at least implies that the kind of problems he has are more transitory. They're not the kind of problems that will carry on into the future. So,
Mr. Dodd,
yes.
So as I understand it, in the district court's findings, the concerns that weren't addressed or that remained uncorrected after reasonable efforts were, in fact, illegal drug use, not engaging in therapy to resolve power and control issues, unwillingness to acknowledge the child's autonomy and how some of the things and choices that he had made when he had the child in his custody led to developmental delays. Can you point to evidence that was submitted or anything in the record that would show us that, in fact, the trial court made a mistake in making its findings that those particular issues were unresolved?
Well, I don't know that I can make I can answer that question with respect to all of the areas that you raised, Your Honor. But I'm sorry, I just have lost my train of thought. Could the court ask me that question again? I beg your pardon.
Certainly. When I reviewed the district court's order, it was a very thorough order that spoke to what it did and didn't find. And it did find some things that were in your client's favor, that he was able to maintain employment, that he was able to had, you know, had a home and he had consistent visitation. The things that the court found were not addressed were the illegal drug usage, the therapy for some power and control issues and dynamics, the inability to understand the child's need for autonomy and how things that he had done contributed to developmental delays. And I think that's really the basis for the district court's decision. So I'm asking you, where in the record would I find information, evidence to the contrary of what the district court found that would be supportive of your client in this appeal?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. Thank you for bearing with me. What I wanted to point out, first of all, was with respect to the concerns about the power and control and domestic violence. I think it's first important to point out that a lot of that depends on the credibility of the other parent here, which I've gone into detail about. I'm not going to focus on that here. But more importantly, if you look at the record, when they went to do evaluations, there was a problem with the first evaluation because apparently the other parent was present during the evaluation, which caused the agency to have a question about it. And my client then agreed to participate in another one, But there was a problem with that as well. So as we went to trial, it was my understanding that there wasn't any recommendation with respect to the domestic violence that he was supposed to engage in. So and that would not have been his problem. With respect to his ongoing chemical dependency issues, I don't have anything else to point to, Your Honor, other than the fact that he was testing negative for several months prior to the trial. So I think that to say that he was not addressing his chemical dependency, I guess it raises the question of what's more important, the ability to participate in treatment or the ability to stay sober. And I would say that he's demonstrating at least the ability to stay sober, at least as established by the drug testing.
And did he ever complete his aftercare recommendations?
Not at the time, not as of the time of trial.
Okay, thank you.
So, I think I've basically addressed the points that I intended to address, that I wanted to address, and I realize that I have some time left, but that I may not use. But unless there's some additional questions, I'd be willing to turn the matter over to my colleague for her argument.
I just have one follow-up question. It appears to me that the only thing that you're challenging, and tell me if I'm wrong, are you challenging two things? Are you challenging the reasonableness of the efforts made, as well as whether the statutory basis was proved by clear and convincing evidence, or the district court clearly erred? I don't see a best interest argument. I just want to find out what exactly you're arguing.
Well, I think that the best interest argument is part of that, is always there. And I think our overall argument is that even if the court was correct, that there was a statutory provision under which his rights could have been terminated, I think we're arguing overall, for the reasons I think I've already stated, that would not be in this child's best interest under the circumstances, that at best, that he should have been, under the circumstances, he should have been afforded some additional time to complete his case plan. That would have been in the best interest of the child. And we think the trial court also erred in that respect.
Thank you. Thank you. I see no other questions from the panel. It appears, and you'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. So we'll turn to counsel for respondent.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Lisa Tufts, Assistant Becker County Attorney on behalf of Becker County Human Services. To address some of the issues that Mr. Dodd brought up, I think he was asking for more additional time for Mr. Damon to complete his case plan. The time in which a case plan can be worked is a statutory set. They have 1 year to complete their case plan because it is in the best interest of the child to have a permanent placement as soon as possible, especially given the age of this child, who is now little over 2 years old. He was unable to complete his case plan within the statutorily set timelines. Mr. Dodd alludes to the fact that he was meaning to sobriety because he was not failing any drug tests. In the issue with Mr. Damon's drug usage is not that he would be testing negative. He is prescribed a medication, which is a controlled substance. The allegations that the county has made is that he was misusing his controlled substance. And so they sent a family resource worker into his home to try to count these medications to ensure that he had 30 pills at the beginning of the month, takes a pill every day. At the end of the month, the 30 pills are gone and he gets a new prescription. As you can see in the testimony there from the family resource worker, multiple times, like 8 times, he didn't show up to have his medication counted. He said, oh, I don't have money, so I don't have any. But that doesn't mean he didn't misuse the other ones that he had. It doesn't mean that he didn't buy them and sell them to somebody else. There are just missing medications. And that is the reason that drug testing was immaterial in this case. He was not using, he did test positive for a couple of other illegal substances, such as methamphetamine and fentanyl, for which he was not prescribed. He blames that on the other parent in this matter that she was using, and he just happened to get into the car when she was smoking in there, so he then tested positive. But he will not accept the responsibility for properly managing his prescription drugs, and he will not accept any responsibility for the illegal drugs that had entered into his system during the case, this case plan. And in regard to the parenting time, there is no doubt that Mr. Damon loved to go and see his child at positive.
Can I just interrupt for a second? I know, I mean, it's probably fine. I know there's just to respect the request, just to not use names.
Okay.
By the appellant, we'll just call him the appellant or
okay.
Father, whatever.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. In regard to the parenting time, I mean, it is very obviously that the father loved to go to the supervised parenting center and play with his child. There's no doubt about that. But playing with his child for a couple hours a few times a week does not equate to capable parenting. The problem with his parenting was that the child was kept in a car seat so that he could sleep, and the child wouldn't fuss so that he could maintain his employment. Yes, he was working 2 jobs, but he was not engaging in care of the child, and he would not allow the child the autonomy to explore and learn how to sleep in a bed. He would not able to crawl or walk at a young at the age of a year. And these were due to the father's control, power and control issues. The child in his care, in his home, was not allowed to be a child because it interfered with the father's realm of what he wanted his life to look like. Mr. Dodd brought up the credibility of the domestic abuse issues. And there, I will not deny that the other party, the mother in this matter, has some credibility issues, but there are some things that were determined that were credible, and that would be that the child was unable to lay down to sleep at the age of a year. She had a flat head on the back from sitting in a car seat all the time. Those are not things that the mother those are things that the mother had said happened to this child, and it was proven by clear and convincing evidence because of the examination of a public health nurse, as well as medical staff, and the notations from the foster parents that were taking care of this child. At a year old, this child could not lay down in a crib to sleep, and that was because if she cried, it would interfere with the father's personal well-being.
So Ms. Tufts,
yeah.
It seems like you're focusing a lot on the issues that were present at the beginning of the child welfare case when it was opened. And I think what we have to look at is how much progress was made and whether father substantially complied with his case plan. And there were certain things that the district court found that father had complied with, and efforts that were made, including some participation in drug, coming in and drug testing and meeting with some of the people. So he did comply with some of his case plan. If you could just speak to why it's your view or the county's view that he didn't meet the substantial compliance with the case plan, that would be helpful to us.
Okay, Your Honor, thank you. Yes, and this would go back to the three things that Your Honor mentioned earlier. The illegal drug use was a reason that the rights were terminated. The failure to complete any therapy regarding the power and control and address, additionally, parenting skills relating to the necessary autonomy of a child, so I was giving you the background as to why these things were a concern to the court when they did actually terminate. And as I mentioned, the illegal drug use, he did not comply with the drug counting. He did not work enough with the family resource worker to determine whether he was continually abusing prescribed medications or he was not. We worked reasonable efforts in trying to assist him to prove that he would be able to manage his controlled substances according to the prescription in the best interest of the family and the child. And he did not do that. He did not engage in any therapy regarding a power of control issue. And as Mr. Dodd alluded to, that is because he did not believe he had a power and control issue. He had a diagnostic assessment, he had anger management assessments, and he had a capacity to parent evaluation that through his personality testing stated this was something that he would need to address to effectively parent. He refused. He did not participate in any of that. He did not participate in any parenting classes that the family resource worker was attempting to work with to work on the autonomy and to understand why a child needs to be able to have free time and make some choices on her own, such as whether she is crawling or sitting or walking or sleeping, laying down. There are just certain things that a child needs to be able to do on their own. And the father did not allow that to happen because it interfered with his life. The other thing that I wanted to bring up to address for that Mr. Dodd brought up was that he was not allowed to remove the child from the supervised visitation center, even though he was not testing positive for medications that he was not prescribed. And the reason for that goes back to the removal date and still the unaccounted for medications during the pendency of this entire case. There was a fear of him absconding with the child. He had to be handcuffed when the child was removed because he was getting into an argument with the workers, with his wife, with law enforcement. And there was a concern that if he was allowed to take the child outside of this visitation center, that he would have absconded with the child because he did not, at that time, he was not working his case plan the way it needed to be. He was not addressing power and control issues that needed to be addressed. And there was a fear for the child. He was allowed a lot of visitation. Most of it he was able to appear for, and the child enjoyed spending time with him. He likes to play with his child. That does not equate to him having the capacity to manage his medications properly and to parent this child to grow to a healthy adult. He just wants to go and play with the child occasionally. He will not address whenever the autonomy of the child was brought up, he would say, I've had three other children. I know what children do. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. The Becker County Human Services tried to get services in there so he could come to a fuller understanding of the needs of an infant child. His other children that he raised were raised in the majority of the time by their mother. And they still have a good working relationship and he visits with his adult children and that's good. But he was unable to show that he was capable of caring for a small child on a day-to-day basis, getting up in the middle of the night with the child when he has to work in the morning and things of that nature.
So, Ms. Tepps, as I understand appellant's argument about reasonable efforts and that it's his position that because he wasn't allowed unsupervised parenting time, then therefore, the reasonable efforts weren't afforded to him. You mentioned that part of the reason was a fear that he would abscond with the child. Is that in the record?
Yes, Your Honor. It is, there's a police report from the time that the child was removed that the father was behaving inappropriately.
Right. No, I understand that there was a situation when the child was first removed from the home, but with regard to visitation at the end of the time period when he was working his case plan.
There was not an additional instance when we thought that he would abscond, but there was that underlying concern, considering that he was unwilling to address his power and control issues, and he was not allowing his medications to be counted appropriately. So we do not know if he was abusing his controlled substances or not.
Thank you for the clarification.
I believe that pretty well sums up my arguments and my responses, questions to that Mr. Dodd and Your Honors have brought. If you have any additional questions, I will be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I will cede the remaining time.
It appears not. Thank you very much, Counselor, for your argument. And we have Mr. Dodd, 5 minutes for rebuttal. Sorry, Mr. Dodd, if you could unmute and start again, please. Thanks.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. At any rate, this medication counting issue, as I said earlier, when this case started, there wasn't a concern about chemical dependency. Then, as I also said, there was an issue with some alleged failed drug tests that my client did not agree that he failed. But he engaged in treatment. He did not complete the treatment. But after the alleged failed drug test, that's when the medication counting issue arose. And my understanding of the record, and I think this is established by the record, was that while that was an issue that was raised in the early part of 2022, by about February, that had been resolved, that my client was in compliance with that. They were able to count his medications. And I don't think there was ever any proof that there was suspicion that he might be abusing his prescription medications, but there was never any proof of it. And I also thought it was appropriate for the—
You say there is not any proof of it, but I thought the testimony from, I believe it was Ms. Jewell, who was the social worker that was involved, is that he would refuse to acknowledge he had any chemical dependency issue, and she testified that he wasn't properly counting his pills. Would that not have been evidence? The court heard that testimony.
I don't want to get into semantics, I guess. What I meant to say is I don't think it was proved by clear and convincing evidence that he was misusing his medications. I think what they had was a suspicion. I think that's what she testified to, that she suspected he might be misusing his medications, but then that issue did get addressed. And after it was addressed, there was no further evidence that he was misusing his prescription medications. And that all occurred 4 or 5 months before we tried this case. I also would want to highlight as it relates to the progress that my client did make. The guardian ad litem testified, I think the exact quote was that he had really stepped up. And we agree with that. And we think that's why he should have been, and not from my client's perspective, but from the child's perspective. This child is now facing the prospect of not having a parent, not having a biological parent in her life, which, you know, sometimes has to happen. But in this case, I don't think we're quite ready for that yet. So what I was asking the court to do would be to reverse the trial court, send this matter back to allow my client to complete his case plan. And I think that's all I've got in rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dodd. Thank you to both of you for your oral arguments and your briefing today. This case is submitted. It will be decided within the expedited statutory time period. And
thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. With that, we are in recess. Thank you.